Nice.
Yeah, you should be. Actually, you should be. You should be. You started at Hopper, didn't you?
Wait, why are you doing that instead of just asking what year I was born?
Because I'm being polite, man.
No, I just asked.
Underneath this gruff exterior, people always think that, you know, Chris, you know, this guy's a fucking gruff guy.
Yeah, must be so 104 full of, or something.
Yeah, yeah. and
okay, so
I'm just being polite. You started in Hopper, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Well, even before that, I started in
that one I didn't know. Yeah, yeah.
Music drama company.
Oh yes. MDC.
Yeah, MDC. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's kind of.
But Gurmit came to be Gurmit in Hopper Villa, right?
What do you mean by Gurmit?
Come on, man. You are probably you're like the. Let me find the right word for this.
Are we ever going to establish who's older before we get to that? Because it's going on and on.
Well, this is like a Bollywood movie,
it's
right?
It's a rubber plantation. I was born in 1965.
Are they? Older than me.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
All right.
You're 5 years older than me.
Five?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I know I look so young. Yeah. Fucking hell, really that bad? No, you gotta be because, you know, Hopper and all is way before my time.
Oh yeah,
I only hear stories about people there.
I was in Hopper in 1988 to 1992, 4 years. Yeah.
Well. Yeah. And I heard rumors.
Oh no,
I heard rumors, man. Gurmit Singh back in Hopper Villa.
Yes.
You played drag as well, didn't you?
No. That's Kumar. That's not me. What are you talking about? That's Kumar's history.
Some people who knew you back then in Hopper told me Gurmit was also a drag.
No. Okay, so the drag story I think comes from MDC. Music and drama company, even earlier.
Holy shit. Okay, yes. So you did do drag.
I did do drag. And it's only because Najib Ali. And I was just a Lance Corporal then, right? Mm-hmm. In music and drama company. And he comes across us. And he says, hey, I got this show going and all that. And I think you'd be good to play the part. I say, what the part is that? It's a woman's part. I say, what? Sorry, hello? And then he told me, he said, if Dustin Hoffman can do it in Tootsie, why can't you? You know, I'm just asking you to play the part. So he told me a story. I'm supposed to play this queen. And it's set in Legends Discotheque.
Oh.
Remember Legends?
Yeah.
So I play this queen, very glamorous queen. Uh-huh. And then I have my four female dancers and all that. It's a dance show as well.
Uh-huh.
Richard Chia is the astronaut that lands on our planet. And then we do a dance number and all that kind of thing. I mean, that's the summary. I am cutting it short. But it ran over four Mondays, I think, or four Tuesdays. I can't remember now. Maybe four Fridays.
Yeah.
More likely, right? Fridays. And each time we come out, and I was decked from hair follicle down to my little teeny toes as a woman, right?
Yeah.
I wore a corset. I had long wigs. I had eyelashes. I had nails. I had everything. Works.
Uh-huh.
And in the discotheque, they were full of gays. They were full of transvestites and all that.
Right.
When they saw me, and I don't mean to brag, I was damn bloody beautiful. I really was. I fell in love with myself.
You know, I should have asked you this question before the show, man. Asking, do you have any pictures of that shit just sent over?
No.
I'll flash it up right now.
Actually, I have a picture of me which I did for a different show, for Pochukang.
Okay.
In a moment, I'll show you the picture when you ask me, when you talk to me and all that. But so anyway, I do this show, right, for 1 week a night. Mm. 1 night a week, sorry.
Yeah.
And the fan base is increasing and increasing and increasing to the point where after every night we finish the show, I come forward, we do bows, right?
Yeah.
And all the transvestites are, oh, they are like so proud of me. They're so like, oh yes, we're represented and all that kind of thing, right? I go into the changing room, I change out, and when I come out, they're still looking for that that queen.
They don't recognize
I walk past them.
They don't recognize
not
you.
At all. So I think that's where the drag story starts.
Right.
And I did one drag for a photo shoot because of PCK.
Mm.
Rosie is reminiscing about her previous employee.
Right.
Employer.
Employer, okay.
And she was her mentor. And they thought, who could play her mentor? You know, this karaoke lounge.
Right.
Mistress, mama-san, mentor.
Mama-san. Mm.
They said, let's dress Gurmit up. and hence I came up with
that one.
And it's been there.
So basically, Gurmit Singh makes a very good drag queen.
Apparently so. I've been been told. Not something to brag about. I don't know. Is there something to brag about?
And you never gave Kumar a run for the money.
No, I mean, he's funnier than I am. So, you know, to each his own. But it was fun, you know, to try different things.
Yeah,
yeah. It was just for the fun of it.
Can you imagine? I was dressed in drag before too, man.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, I know. It was a horrible
thing. Why were you dressed
in drag? I've never seen a woman so damn ugly
in
my life.
How drunk were you?
It was for a show. It was for a show.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was something you had to do and people pay you money. You just do that shit, right?
So for money you do.
My goodness, I was the ugliest bloody woman in the world.
You were. You don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't want to like flatter yourself.
I do not look good as a woman.
No, huh?
I do not look good as a man.
Has your wife seen you? The picture is gone. I don't know what happened, man.
Oh, really? Wait, okay.
It's loading up. It's loading up. You got lousy Wi-Fi here.
Thank you.
It is a studio.
Much.
It's a studio after all.
Thank you very much.
So that's testament to testament to the quality of the studio.
Okay.
It's so sound packed that Wi-Fi cannot get inside here. Apparently.
Good save.
Okay, I'll try to find the picture when I can. There you go.
Let me take a look, man. I can put this up in post. Oh no way!
Yes way.
Can you send me that? I'm going to put this up in post.
You sure you're not going to use it for personal use, right?
Oh, no, of course not. It's just going to go up for the show and I will delete it from my archives.
Your wife asking you, why are you talking so long? Why are you with the phone? No, nothing, honey. I'm just testing my podcast.
There's this gorgeous girl that's on my phone.
Yeah. From Orchard Towers.
I've got to put that one up. That is really something.
Ooh.
Welcome, everybody, to season 3.
Mm.
It's a brand new season. I hope you guys had a good break from me.
Don't answer that.
But we are back. I'm happy to be back in studio, back in CCB TV, and back for the Chris Hansen Conversation. But gotta let you know, though, today is the 4th of January. You're watching this in March. Okay, the reason why I'm saying this is because I have with me, again, every time this guy comes on my show, it has to rain. The first time he came on my show, it rained.
I have a weak bladder. Can't help it. Is that what you mean? Oh, you mean the actual rain?
The actual rain.
Oh, I thought
the weather is so rainy. And this, every time I have him with me, man, it bloody rains.
Why?
And I don't know why.
Why?
I have with me in studio, Gurmit Singh.
Hi, guys. Hi, everybody. Welcome to season 3. Am I the first guest on season 3?
Yes, you are.
Oh, my God. Finally, I'm first in something. I've never first before.
This is the first episode for the new season, man.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm honored.
Yeah. And you know, the reason why I mentioned it, I usually don't like to mention dates because people then know it's pre-recorded, but I really don't give a shit anymore. It is pre-recorded. Yeah.
Okay.
We don't censor anything. That's one thing for a fact.
Cool.
Yeah? It's raw, uncensored, unadulterated. That's what the show is all about.
All right.
But the reason why I mention it, did you have your spaghetti today?
My who? What? Did I have my spaghetti today?
Did you have your spaghetti today? Today is International Spaghetti Day.
No way.
Yeah.
I know. I'm always very confounded by these international days. Who makes this up?
I don't know, man.
Who does this thing?
I have no.
Can you and I now declare tomorrow will be International Armpit Hair Day?
I have no clue. Right. I don't know whether it's the UN that does this kind of thing.
Why is UN spending so much time doing this? They have better things to do, right? More important stuff.
It's going to be something that Americans have done, probably.
Can somebody Google this? Somebody who is watching this now, listening to us, can you just find out why are this? I mean, I appreciate the days.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, is that like this? Two guys in a room somewhere in the world.
Figuring out what day should we make it tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow let's make it. And I when I was on radio, we would do that also. We say today is whatever day. But sometimes the day would have multiple days. Like it could be Grandfather's Day. It could be also Spaghetti Day. And
all
also
the same day.
Lick Your Dog Day.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Lick Your Dog Day.
Why would you want to lick your dog? But apparently there is a day for lick your dog.
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm making it up.
Yeah, exactly.
But you see how easy it is to just come up with something and say it's this day.
So you didn't have your pasta today, huh?
I didn't have my pasta today.
It's a good thing you didn't have your pasta, Gurmit. You know what? Because as usual, and for 3 seasons in a row, right here in front of us, is probably the crispiest.
Arguably.
Yep. Fluffiest.
Ooh.
Vades in the damn land, man.
Wow. So it's not props.
Prawn vades. No, it's not props.
It's real stuff.
I mean, can you smell it from where you're sitting?
I don't know. Was that or it was you? Maybe you a vade cologne. I don't
fucking
know.
Fucking hell. This is what happens when I have good
cologne. Cologne comes in all kinds of, you know.
Oh, gosh.
Nowadays, colognes, I tell you, I read the description like, wait, what does this say? I don't understand anymore. It used to be just manly, earthly, womanly,
and now
flowery.
Names you can't fucking pronounce, right?
Yeah, like what's IDB? Is this a disinfectant or is it a deodorant?
So now, no. Let's get back to the point, man. You're saying I smell like prawn bar.
Which is a good thing. I could eat you, man. That didn't sound very right.
Hey, Gordon's Vardes. Yeah. Sorry about this, man. I'm trying to do this right. But then again, people, the best, crispiest, fluffiest Vardes of the damn night comes with chutney, too. Homemade chutney, man. Homemade. Check that out. And thank you again, Gordon's Vardes, for always feeding me and my guests. You guys, it's on the screen. Kindly, we put that up just now.
Oh, man. Can you hear that?
You need what? There you go. The contacts are there. Contact VJ, please. Is it there? How is it, man? How is it? Is it good?
That's good. Can you help my mouth? And you must have.
Smell it again.
Smell you.
Smell me, yeah. Is that me? Does it smell like me?
Oh, so much you.
Yeah, so much me. Okay.
I never see Vardé the same way again.
Jeez.
When I go to the store, I say, I want a Chris. I mean a Vardé. Oh, it's good.
Only Gurmit, man. Only Gurmit can do stuff like that with me. Mm. Okay. And don't you realize this is other person that's with us, man?
This other person?
Yeah. Yeah, right here. Right here, this one.
You call this a person?
You know what I mean? Come on.
You have very little friends.
Come on, man. This guy crept his way into my home, man.
I mean, obviously, it's an alien mask.
It's not a mask. It's an alien.
It's an alien.
Yeah. His name is Ubi.
From Kaki Bukit Ubi.
Ubi Kayu. Yeah. And this guy is what we call a Zeti Reticulan.
What?
He's a Zeti Reticulan.
Zeti Reticulan.
Yep.
What does that mean?
Zeti Reticulan, it's a species of alien that they come from a binary star system called Zeti Reticuli. Zeta Reticuli.
Before Articuli. Wait, go back in. So there are different I'm going to hiccups now because of chili. So there are different species of alien.
Yeah, there are different species. As a matter of fact, since you asked, I'm not supposed to bring that up now, but since you brought it up.
Bring it up.
Yeah, we're going to bring this up on screen. Kai, there you go.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Basically, what people are saying, ufologists, all over the world have realized that there are these few species of aliens. Reptilian, the reptilians are the ones that are basically hiding here in the world. Allegedly.
Okay.
Then there's the Anunnaki, whom people are saying were the ones that started civilization for...
I read about that.
Yeah, yes, the Anunnaki.
The reptiles one I also know because there are a lot of boyas and we know they're already here.
And the reptilians are supposed to be malicious.
Oh,
yeah, they're the ones that started
the
shadow government order and stuff like that. That's what people are saying. Anyway. Okay, I'm not saying.
No. We just expand.
Then we have the plebeians. You can see the blonde girl.
Yep.
Hey, Kai, leave the picture up, man. You see the blonde girl. That the plebeian?
Yeah.
They're also known as the Nordics.
Wait, isn't Nordic the Vikings?
Exactly. So these are the human-like alien species. No, they're very tall. The eyes are a little different, though. You know, and these people are benevolent.
Right. What does it mean, benevolent?
Benevolent means that these people are not here to harm the human race.
Right. They're just chilling out.
No, not really. They actually want to help the human race.
Oh, I see. Okay. So they're good people. But they're good aliens.
Apparently. See, I'm going to sound like a quack all over again, man. As if I am actually believing it. I don't disbelieve it.
Right.
But I'm not just going to take things at face value at what people are saying as well, right? So, these people are the ones that were rejected by the US government, allegedly, apparently, and they decided to do business with the Greys. And you can see the Greys.
Who's the Greys?
Well, the one, top left in the center, there are two types of Greys. One is called the Zeta Grey, which is this guy. The Zeta Greys. They come from the constellation Zeta Reticuli.
Where is that? Is it far away?
I will come to that very soon.
Okay.
And there's another type of gray called the Gliese Grey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from another constellation. And this guy, later on, you just remember that look on that face, yeah?
Right.
Okay, let me just show you this. Since we're talking about this right now. Kai, can you put up that one, the Peruvian one? Look at that face. It's like this guy. Now,
Gurmit. Found in Peru?
Yeah, found in Peru.
No way.
The Mexican Congress had a hearing where they wanted to investigate about these fines.
Right.
And the Peruvian government's a bit upset because it was taken out of Peru. Okay. And
I would be too.
This guy named Jamie Mossan, who is a ufologist, actually brought these three fossilized bodies.
Okay.
I think they were supposed to be about 100,000 years old.
Wow.
And they brought it to the Congress.
Wow.
And DNA were all done.
Okay, good.
And is non-human.
Ooh.
And one is female.
Okay.
And has got three eggs in her.
Huh? Eggs?
Eggs.
Wow.
Now, recent reports say that that one is actually not dead. What do you fossilized, mean? But not
so
dead.
So like kind of a mum, no. What is it? Stasis? Cyber?
Something like stasis. I don't know. I mean, that's what the latest findings say, you know. Oh. Some people are still trying to debunk it. Some people are saying that, you know, it's all rubbish and all blah, blah, blah. But I'm just merely saying that this is what happened.
Right.
I'm not saying whether it's right or whether real or not, you know, fake or true or false, but
it's all there.
It's all there. So if you look at the Gliese gray, right, and you see, look at the similarity with that fossil, the Peruvian alien, right? They look alike.
Right.
Yeah, this one is actually was all over the news. The remarkable thing was last year in 2023, it started with the whistleblowing in Congress, U.S. Congress. And this guy named David Grush was actually quite a decorated soldier.
Right.
He was involved in this particular department of the Pentagon. And these people were, and this is made known across the board to investigate anomalous phenomena.
Okay.
And he had to interview hundreds of people.
Right.
In and across the intelligence services as well as the military. And until the reached a point where he couldn't take it anymore and he reported it to Congress.
Right.
And a lot were discussed in private in what we call a SCIF. The SCIF is a soundproof room.
Oh.
Only available in the Pentagon. And the Pentagon did not want to give Congress access to those rooms. They're the only ones that have it. They were trying to stop them.
Shouldn't Congress have access to all these?
Precisely.
Right.
The Congress people were really very upset with the military establishment.
Right.
Simply because they have got the highest possible security clearance.
Yeah.
And they were being given a runaround.
Right.
But latest reports have it is that they did have the SCIF eventually. And more were said, but not released to the public at this time. And what happened was, rewinding back to the whistleblowing.
Yeah.
He has testified that people have been murdered over this UFO story.
Murdered by whom?
He can't say.
And
he it was asked in public during the congressional hearings. He couldn't say, but he told them in private in the SCIF. And then he also mentioned that these things are true, though it is third party knowledge because he's third party, right?
Yeah.
But it's through all the witnesses that he had to interview, officially being a member or the person put in charge of this thing.
Yeah.
And he knew that he had to bring it out into the open because it would never come out into the open if he didn't raise it to Congress.
Right.
So, him and two other persons. The other two persons were fighter pilots. One was the squadron leader way back, I think, in 2001 or 2003. And these guys also brought out videos with the Pentagon officially released to the whole world.
Right.
What we call a tic-tac UFOs.
What a tic-tac UFOs?
It was out in BBC. It was out in CNN. It's out every major news network.
Okay.
The Pentagon officially stated, now they didn't call them UFOs. They called them UAPs. Unidentified anomalous or aerial phenomenon. Okay. So these white little things were going against the laws of physics.
Right.
And the fighter jets were chasing after them.
Mm.
And it's all caught in video from the cameras on board these planes, right? And that was shown all over the world.
Right.
So the American military has come out to say, yeah, okay, you know, it's real.
Okay.
Okay, that was 2023.
Okay. 2003, you mean?
No, 2023, last year.
2023, last year.
It came out in the Congress. They released it in 2012.
Right.
2023, it was really blown up for the whole world to see because the whistleblowing happened.
Right.
Now, directly after this whole thing, it's still going on, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, they're still talking.
I'm going to Google about this after this.
Oh, please do. I think it makes for interesting reading.
Right.
And then, of course, these three appeared in all kinds of other shows, you know, on Kimmel, on Ellen, or another show. And they came out on these shows and they also were interviewed as well.
Wow.
When that happened, the Mexican Congress called for a hearing.
Huh.
And that's when that alien, alleged alien, the fossilized one, I showed you.
Yep.
That one was what the topic was about.
Wow.
And now the Brazilian government is also chasing after their own story.
What story is that? You mean what?
There's a particular incident that happened in Brazil. They call it Brazil's own Roswell story.
Oh, okay.
You know about Roswell.
Oh, Roswell,
In America, in New Mexico. That's famous. The Brazilian version is called Virginia. And in Virginia, this little town, there was a UFO that crashed, apparently.
Ooh.
And there were two live ones, aliens, ETs, that survived that crash.
Mm.
And they ran into hiding.
Oh.
Two police officers caught one.
Oh.
One that caught him and actually manhandled the being.
Yeah.
Died eventually. He died because all of his organs started to fail.
Oh, wow. Just by contact, manhandling him.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the Americans got involved. They landed in the airfield there.
Just like that. So full of.
And two guys in black suits came to visit three of the witnesses at their homes.
Wait, two guys in black suits? Are we talking about Men in Black now?
Yeah.
So are you talking about the movie or the real thing?
The real thing.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know whether they're real. Yeah. People will call me a quack. Since you asked me like that, I'm going to tell you.
I mean,
you know?
You can't help but draw the reference, right? Because you said two men in black and another.
Yeah.
Are we talking about a movie now?
No, but if you were to watch, there's a documentary out by a serious documentary maker who actually did extensive research on this crash in Virginia.
Oh.
And there is a docu-movie out on it.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't sound far-fetched at all because some of the things that they found in the wreckage, some of the witnesses though,
right,
are almost exactly the same as what some witnesses at Roswell were saying.
Oh.
The same rotten egg smell in the atmosphere, in the air,
right,
around the environment of where the crash supposedly was.
Right.
There's this terrible, repugnant odor.
Right.
As it was like that in Roswell, it was like that in Virginia.
But wouldn't these people in Virginia, maybe they've heard this story in Roswell, how it was described, and they're doing it the same way?
Basically, you see a whole lot of military guys all of a sudden end up in your little sleepy village.
Right. That means something, right?
There must be something.
I find it, okay, if we know where these aliens are, in which constellation and all that, why can't we just point the satellites and telescopes? James Webb telescope right now is doing fantastic stuff.
Good question.
Why don't we just aim and say, I see your backyard, like Google Map. That's the alien taking
good
out
question.
His, taking out his rubbish.
Since the James Webb telescope has come up, right, is a real engineering marvel.
Oh yeah, it is, man.
It's revealed crazy. So many things, right? One little tiny black spot in space and then you see billions of galaxies.
Yes, yes.
But
that's amazing. It's amazing.
James Webb has found exoplanets already.
Yes.
Right? In different constellations. Not that they haven't done it, they've done it.
Yeah.
This is where I will, since you asked about that, constellations, which constellations? It could be a few. There are the Arcturians, there's the, the Andromedans, which is the closest galaxy to the Milky Way is Andromeda.
Which is going to crash into us in a few billion years.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just merge.
We are
going to
collide.
We're just going to merge.
We're going to collide, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We won't be around, thankfully, to see that happen.
The Andromeda Milk Galaxy.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
You're right, yeah. Yeah, it's not in Andromeda Milk. They actually had milk in front first, I think.
I think, is it?
Yeah. Milkmeda.
Milkmeda galaxy.
something.
So like this guy here, he's from which galaxy, which constellation?
It's a star system.
A star system.
In the Milky Way. It's called Zeta Reticuli.
Wait, so this guy is from our own galaxy?
Yeah.
It's not even from a different galaxy?
Most of them are from our own galaxy.
Right. Yeah. These galaxies are huge, man.
Yeah, but the Andromedans, of course, came from that galaxy.
Right.
Yeah. But this guy, comes from this constellation, or not constellation, well, it's a star system.
Yeah.
It's so a binary star system. There's two suns. Okay. If you take a look at the, can we put up the Betty Hill one, please?
The Betty Hill?
Okay. Betty and Barney Hill was the most famous alien abduction case ever recorded.
Oh, yeah?
Black husband, white wife.
Okay.
Okay. They were both in the civil rights movement. That was way back when, you know, during the days of Martin Luther King.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, long story cut short, they discovered that they were abducted because there's a lot of lost time.
That happens to me a lot, by the way. But no, that's another story. Carry on.
You told me that story before, man. Actually, come to think of it. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, right.
And doing hypnosis, she drew this picture. Now, take a close look at that picture. Take a close look. Just try to remember that, you know, just basically how it looks like. She said that she and her husband was shown this map while in the spacecraft.
Okay.
Okay. And that alien being, which she said it was a Zeti reticulate, told them that this is where they live. Okay. And that there are also these, the lines there, you see those lines of the two round planets?
Yeah.
Those lines, that is a trading route.
What?
They actually have established trading routes. And with this picture, now that you remember, see this one, let's take a look at the official drawing of how, look at that.
Oh.
This is the official star map.
Okay, right.
Of Zeta Reticuli, the binary star system.
Right. Wow.
Now, she was just an ordinary person.
Right.
She knew nothing about these sort of things.
Right.
And what she did was, she drew this out on her own.
Under hypnosis.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was impossible for her to know. So that's why they're the most famous alien abduction in history.
My goodness.
And Zeta Reticuli has been on a lot of people's lips because it does seem that most of the occurrences are with alien beings from that star system.
Man.
Remarkable, right? What's your take, man?
I feel that something is out there. I mean, to say that we're the only ones who are walking on our legs and all that, it's kind of a bit pompous as an attitude, like, you know, we are the only ones, we are the superior. I doubt it. No, I think there are others out there. And I've also, you know, looked at articles and listened to or watched some stories how they say that maybe we were the seedlings put in here by the aliens to see, let's see how these guys grow and manage themselves. We'll watch it from afar. Once in a while, we'll come and you'll see us spotting you, but oh, sorry, we'll go away. Mm. And then we'll see how you're doing. And some say that civilizations have come across, you know, your UFOs and all that, they come and see us and they say, oh man, these guys are barbaric. Let's leave them alone. They're going to kill themselves off. You know, it's like you go to a pond full of piranhas and you see they're eating and biting and killing like crazy. Do you want to go in there? No. You say, you know what, guys, I've had enough. I'm going to go to the next
pond.
Actually,
you're not wrong there, man.
Right?
Yeah. You're not wrong there.
So I think that could be one possibility, or it could be that the Anunnaki. Anunnaki, right? Mm-hmm. That they were actually the ones who came and then tried to help us to be better people. And I think after a while, they just got tired because they realized that we are heavy in our DNA to just self-destruct, self-destroy, I mean, just go to the Johor Causeway and you see people trying to cut queue already. So, you know, there are things like that. We seem to be programmed somehow. I don't know how it happened, but somehow we are programmed to just want to do things the hard way, get into trouble and do stuff that just stir shit up, right? Mm. And then the Anunnaki said, you know what? They are beyond help. we have to go.
Well, the legend behind or the myth behind the Anunnaki actually is not as simple as that.
Right.
The legend behind it, according to what people have deciphered out of the Sumerian, you know,
right, Sumerian,
cuneiforms,
yes.
The clay tablets and the stories they tell, is that the Anunnaki actually, the human race was, we were actually slave.
To
these guys.
Right, right.
And then they had a war amongst themselves. And there's a famous story that
who had
about.
The wars? The slaves or the Anunnaki?
The Anunnaki.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Heard about them. Yeah. Yes, yes.
And then there's also the
two brothers.
Yeah, correct. Yes, yes. And then there was this other, you know, the Mahabharata, which is India, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, that other culture had almost a similar kind of story as well.
Yeah.
But when we look back, you know, there's this guy named Graham Hancock.
Mm-hmm.
If you've watched on Netflix, the show called Ancient Aliens, theory about, oh, man.
Mm.
I know for a fact, a lot of mainstream archaeologists hate this guy's guts.
Oh, I remember him. Yes. He's this little guy with the glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks a bit like a John Denver old version.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah, yeah. And his argument is very compelling.
It is.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because he is saying that the human race and civilization as we know it is not real. It's not true.
Hmm.
And that it goes way back more than 12,000 years.
Yeah, they found that site in Turkey, isn't it?
Yeah, that is Göbekli Tepe.
Tepe, yes, yes.
Right, now that spot alone, if you do any carbon, which they have, carbon dating, goes way back when.
Yeah.
And look at the technology.
Yeah.
Look at the infrastructure. There was proper organized, civilized infrastructure.
Yeah, exactly.
And it goes way beyond the pyramids.
Yeah, it's about 12,000 years back, isn't it?
So how can we explain? We can't easily explain that away.
Right, of course.
You know, the ruins are there.
Yes.
Right? And who built them? can we say that humans did? Maybe we did. But
it was Ssangyong Construction Private Limited from Korea. They were there first. Koreans were there first. Yeah, but now the geology world and the history world is all like in a whack because they think, okay, now we got our deadlines wrong because we thought, you know, the Sumerians were the oldest people around civilization.
Mm.
But then suddenly this Tepe thing happened. And then they're like, wait, so it's 12,000 years now. So everything has to move back a bit now on the ruler of the human mankind timescale.
Right. You know, and the next episode, I'll be having Ignatius Bong back. We'll be discussing about ancient aliens.
Mm.
And pretty sure that we'll also talk about the fact that inside the ancient pyramids, they say that's a burial, a burial spot for a pharaoh, right?
Right.
No pharaoh's ever been found.
Right. So
what's it all about, man? You know, what's it all about, right?
It's like going to say, look, pointing to a bank vault and said that's where they hid all the dead bodies, and you go there, no, it's just money. It's just money. So where's the dead body? I don't understand.
Yeah, so that's where there's a lot of things that's just really not,
it's not adding up, isn't it?
It just doesn't add up, man. You know, it just doesn't add up, you know. So that's why I brought you in here today, because I also want to, you know, it's curious for me to find out what's Gurmit Singh's perspective on extraterrestrial life and on aliens. And I'm glad to hear that you say that. We can't be so pompous.
No, I mean, ever since, I'm a science fiction buff.
Okay.
So any Star Wars, Star Trek, the recent one, Rebel Moon, anything like that, anything to do with stars, anything in dark space, I'm there, because I just, you know, I ask this question. Okay, let me ask you this: if you could, would you like to live forever, be an immortal?
You know, a hard question. I mean, dependent. I mean, if I can remain healthy still and still sprightly,
still like that, you're okay. Yeah,
of course,
right. So the funny thing is that 9 out of 10 people will say no to me. I'm of the opinion that I want to live forever because I find that the galaxy, the universe, it has so much space and so much to learn and discover and explore.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it in a lifetime. I need to do it in immortality lifetime. So I want to go out there and look around, because I feel there's so much to learn, so much to see.
Right.
And that's why I'm so interested in science, James Webb Telescope, and things like that are really something that I'm attracted to. Yeah.
Okay, but the point is that well, this is gonna get really nuts.
Come on, let's go. You got me.
We have got
I've got
this
nuts.
Universe we live yeah. in.
Yes. Right? Okay.
And this universe is humongous.
Yes.
It's unfathomable, right?
Right.
But then again, in recent times, most scientists, well, it's been rather acceptable. It's an acceptable concept or notion in the scientific community that there are multiverses. Hence, the Avengers.
Yes.
And the
yes.
stories you watch in DC that yes. there are multiple universes, right? Multiverses.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's become a generally well-accepted notion. So what's the difference between this universe and another universe, for example, and there are multiple ones,
yeah.
Apparently, is that it's all different dimensions.
Right.
So let's say, for example, we die.
Yeah.
And not questioning any faith in any beliefs
sure,
yet
sure.
by saying this, but there is this thing that goes missing in that dead body, isn't it? When you look at a dead body,
yeah.
you see an empty shell.
Yeah.
What's missing is the consciousness.
The soul.
Well, yeah.
You would call it that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Science would call it consciousness.
Consciousness, yeah. Yeah. It can transfer to air.
It couldn't just disappear, isn't it? I mean, you've got metaphysics here. You're looking at something that's more than just the physical, biological aspect of things.
Yeah.
There's something more.
I saw a documentary once many years ago where they studied this phenomena where something leaves the body, they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a spirit, the soul, or consciousness, what you call it, right?
Right.
So what they did was an actual bodies that were dying. And they realized when the body died, it lost a bit of weight.
Okay. Really?
So something left the body.
Wow.
Something that had, and it's not, we're talking about 5 kgs or that. It's something light. I forget the exact number now. But it wasn't like the guy lost half the weight, no fats fell off or whatever. But he's lying on the bed there and he's lying on the main machine. And then when he dies, you see the weights go slightly down.
Really?
Something has gone off. That was interesting to me.
Okay. But weight could have come down simply because organs have started to die, maybe, you know.
No, they factored all that in. They
really?
Still felt that something transient, something intangible that they couldn't put a finger to.
Wow.
Was how somehow leaving the body.
Right, yeah. right.
They call it the spirit, the soul, what have you.
Right. So you heard of Skinwalker Ranch?
Who? What?
Because you're talking about this now, so I might as well raise that point.
Right.
Skinwalker Ranch is located in Iowa, I think.
Iowa?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a ranch, really. It was owned by this family, but now there's a term that's coined in the world of ufology.
Yeah.
And the term is called high strangeness.
Okay.
High strangeness means that a lot of strange things, different strange things seem to happen
right.
in one particular spot.
Okay.
Now, Skinwalker Ranch is like that.
Why?
Why is it called Skinwalker Ranch? Because it was built over land that belonged to some Native Americans.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
And they have that legend about skinwalkers. So they named it Skinwalker Ranch. It was bought over eventually by a billionaire.
Okay.
And this guy owns an aeronautics company.
Okay.
Right? Now, his name is Robert Bigelow.
Okay.
Okay. So Bigelow Industries bought over Skinwalker Ranch because he was so interested to find out what's wrong with this spot.
Hmm.
For the last few, well, I think.
But he knew it was a Native Americans burial site, right?
Yeah, he knew.
Okay.
But it's not just about that because all kinds of funny things were happening besides, you know, we say paranormal.
Yeah.
Paranormal would also include, that term alone, would also include aliens and UFOs, right?
Mm.
Not just ghosts
right.
and stuff.
Yeah.
There are orbs flying around.
Ooh.
Now, when we hear orbs, right?
Yeah.
There's only one thing. Huh? It's more than just that. Orbs, people say, oh, those are spirits, isn't it? Yeah, the light of your consciousness comes out. And,
right.
Flitting around here and there.
Right.
But there are also other strange stuff. When they started, what happened is Robert Bigelow started doing experiments in the place.
Hmm.
Now it's no longer his.
Oh.
Now, if you watch, there is a series called Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh.
I'm okay. It's like a documentary. People are actually there and every single day things are happening. So they conduct a lot of experiments. When you, for example, you shoot a rocket up.
Okay.
Okay. A small little rocket, you know?
Yeah.
You shoot it up and it's supposed to go out into the stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It actually hits something and comes back down.
Oh, wow. So it's like invisible dome thing.
Something like that. Oh, wow. Yeah. They've tried it multiple times. It always happens that way. On top of that, they also receive radio waves. When they communicate at a particular wavelength at 1.6 gigahertz, which is the signal or the radio wave from Earth to space.
Okay.
1.6 to maybe 1.8. Okay. They always get a reply.
Oh, it's an echo.
Yeah.
Sorts. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Always that wavelength, 1.6 gigahertz.
I mean, if you look at all these things, right, it just goes to show there's so much that we don't know about what's around us, right? I mean, I sometimes feel like we, you know how they say that the pigs can never look up in the sky because they don't have a neck to look up, right? They only have one view. Do you know that? Did you know that?
No, I don't.
Pigs have no neck.
But
pigs have no neck.
But so pigs can fly.
Okay, pigs, yeah, okay. Of course. Pigs can fly. What are you talking about?
Yes. Okay.
I saw one today on the PIE. So, because he was driving fast. You pig, you! Okay. So pigs cannot look up because they have no neck. They only have this vision. And also, ants have tunnel vision this way, right? So I feel sometimes humans are like that. We only have this vision based on our limited capacity.
No, you're right, man. Because I've been putting in my socials. I said, look, do you know that this show... Well, I've got a few verticals for this show.
Mm.
And this is one, my favorite one. Mm. It's called Euphorus.
Yeah.
UFO Reveal Asia. Euphorus for short.
Okay.
Yeah? And we are the only show in Asia, in an English medium, covering the topic of UFOs and aliens.
Right.
No one else does it. No one else dare say, touch this subject,
right?
Which I find it strange,
right?
That Asians and Singaporeans really don't give a fuck about this, right?
I do. I'm a Singaporean.
No, but a lot of people don't, you know. Yeah, and because why? You get out of your homes. You get out there to go to work.
Yeah.
You come back home. You don't even look up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now the one time I did, and I saw this damn thing in the sky.
Ooh.
Right here.
Right.
Okay. And in the next episode, I will tell you one thing for a fact. I have since kind of realized that here in Singapore, the sightings here is one particular spot.
Ooh. Are we talking about Yishun again?
No.
Because Yishun, you know. Yishun is the Skinwalker Ranch of Singapore. Yishun, lots of things Yishun. Are happening at Yishun.
Crime Central Singapore. Funny things happen in Yishun.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
High strangeness, but not that strange, man.
No.
But there is a spot that I've realized through the years when I look back and I read in Reddit or I go into Pinterest and I've discovered people who talk about this, you know, people that do, it's always this one particular area.
No.
Yeah. And I will talk about that in that episode. But
tune in for the next episode.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, if you take a look at that spot I'm talking about, I'll say it today, lah. Sengkang. Can we play that one, please?
Really?
On one of my episodes in season 2, I had Douglas Anderson with me, and he's like a magnet for UFOs.
Right.
He took this video, and I took a still of it.
Right.
You see see that picture?
Yeah.
Up there, it looks like a Zippo lighter, right?
Yeah.
As I do my research, I found similar pictures in other parts of the globe of this.
Oh.
And this was above Sengkang.
Oh, hello.
But before it became that, it was this.
Right.
It glowed. And it moved about erratically.
Right.
And then it turned into that.
It turned into that?
Yep. What? It morphed into that.
So it's not your electric kite or whatever?
No. And I've got another video. I'm not going to show it today, this episode.
Mm.
I will show the next one. And I can tell you that one is in the daytime. And that was in Haogang.
What?
Yep. And it was also rectangular.
Oh, hello.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so it's not that it doesn't happen here, man. I'm pretty sure it does. Right?
It's just that when we are here, we're just too busy with work and all. We don't want to, you know. But when you go holidays, you start looking at the trees and the skies and the flowers because you are on holiday mood, right? But when you're here, you're just survival mode. You want to work and then get home and sleep and then
precisely
do the same thing again
exactly.
Next day.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that it's curious because I'm pretty sure also that our own authorities and all the other governments of the world know of the existence of these things.
You would think,
right? In the airspace.
Yeah, yeah. You would think, right? You should be,
of course,
right?
I mean, I would think so. You know, and the question remains is that what happens if really one day, and, you know, it's there's this guy from the CIA, and he was interviewed, and he said, why did the Pentagon allow for this to be whistleblown?
Oh.
And they released the Tic Tac videos in 2012.
Hmm.
That's because there is a 10-year program to get the world used to the fact that we are not alone, because there's going to be a major, the whole world will be able to see it, contact event that's going to happen probably between now and 2027 to 2028.
Oh, in my lifetime. That's great. Yeah. Oh, I'll be there.
Okay, so
I just hope it happens in Hong Kong, not somewhere in the States.
I'm going to ask you, man, if let's say, for example, that does happen.
Yeah.
You look out one day and you see above Benjamin Sheares Bridge, above the Esplanade and above Gardens by the Bay.
And it's not National Day. It's not a National Day rehearsal.
And you see a huge craft.
Yeah. Mothership.
And and it's not going to leave. It's not going to go invisible. It's just going to be there.
Hovering. Right.
Right.
Hovering, yes.
And then we have a contact event, right?
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, what do you think the order is going to be like?
I'm hoping that it's going to be a very friendly contact event that they finally say, yes, we are here. We've been here. We've been watching. And we see you're screwing things up. We're going to change stuff. Or we need to get you away because this is something bad is going to happen to the planet. And we're here to save you. We'll bring you to another Earth somewhere.
What do you think the human race would be? How do you think we will react?
They will just annihilate the ship, mothership and fight with nuclear warheads, which is why I'm so scared of the morons that are in control of this nuclear warhead buttons. You know, oh my God. Really, I mean, sometimes when you think about, I mean, if you look at from the small micro level where some people who are leaders of squads or leaders of a community, leaders of a center, leaders of a company, leaders of a section or a village, leaders of a nation, some of them are really morons.
Well,
you know,
why do you say that? I mean,
you look around the world, people are fighting, I think, for what they believe, which is great, but then they don't fight with the people that oppose their belief. They go fight and kill innocent lives.
Okay.
And for me, history has shown that humankind will most likely shoot first and ask questions later. They rather shoot the mothership down and then get some dead bodies and let's study them now. Let's see what kind of metals they use for their ship and what skin they have, what kind of organs they have, as opposed to trying to say, let's meet them and let's see what we can do to have a very friendly and have a dialogue.
Okay, let's flip that. Mm. Let's flip that aside then.
Okay.
What happens if you have a mothership that appears and they happen to be malevolent and not benevolent?
Right.
And they're nasty as shit.
Well, say goodbye to your loved ones because you're going down. There's no way you're going to win the war. I mean, they got the technology to come all the way here. We can hardly get to the moon.
Did we get to the moon?
Nah, that's another thing, isn't it? That's another thing. There's another program coming up in, they're hoping in 2027.
Right.
That they will send, they've sent one unmanned ship around the moon and back already.
Yeah.
Right? That was a technical rehearsal. Okay. They want to do that now with five pilots who will go around the moon. So that will be the furthest a man has traveled because it's going to the dark side of the moon and back.
Right.
They're doing that in 27, 29. I can't remember now, but I saw
NASA, you mean, or a movie?
NASA, not a movie.
NASA.
Yeah,
but no, that's not true. Because why? Because the first cosmonaut that left the planet and into space.
Right? Yeah.
To get into space was by the Soviets.
Yeah, that's right.
Yuri Gagarin.
Yeah.
Now, then Americans entered the space race.
Yes.
Okay. Then they had to beat the Russians.
Yeah.
Then the Russians went another step further. They sent the first female astronaut into space.
Okay.
Then they did another thing. They actually sent a probe to the moon.
Mm. Oh, they did, Russians?
They did.
Oh,
and then, then when Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and, was it Edward Collins? Collins went up in Apollo 11 to land on the moon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Collins was the one that was in the command module.
That's right.
He went around the moon, including the dark. He had to. He had to orbit,
right?
Come around the moon.
Right.
And when he comes back around to where you can see Earth, because you know that we only see one face of the moon, right?
Yeah.
It's an elliptical orbit. You can, which is the only satellite, a natural satellite in our solar system that does that.
Okay.
The other moons,
tidal locked, right?
It's tidal locked.
Yeah.
Not just that. You have the only perfectly spherical moon in the solar system. So when Collins made that round, he had to pass behind the dark side.
The dark side. Oh.
And then when he came back around to pick, he had to pick those two guys up.
Yeah.
They had to come up in the lunar from the lunar module, launch from the moon, and then reconnect back.
My goodness.
With the command module and then climb back into the command module. Then they had to release the lunar module.
Yep.
The slingshot from the gravity, right, of the Earth and the moon.
Yeah.
When they made that round, it's a slingshot themselves back to Earth. Yeah, to come back to Earth.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
So that's already been done.
Up. I thought it was just
and China
up
just landed.
What?
On the dark side of the moon.
No.
Last year.
What?
Yeah.
Did it bring torchlights? So wait. So okay. So how come I don't see any pictures of what's happened in the dark side of the moon?
China.
Yes.
What pictures?
They don't want to share?
I don't know.
Why are they?
You're right. There's nothing.
San Suan Kwan. The little Hokkien I know.
The Indians landed.
No.
They landed also last year.
Why is everybody landing without telling me? Without me knowing, rather. Oh, wow.
So wait.
They landed on the bright side or the dark side?
The Indians the bright side, not on the dark side. The Chinese landed on the dark side.
They did?
They did.
Oh my goodness.
They did. That was the last year.
China, if you're listening to this, please share some pictures, you know. Because there's a lot of theory about the dark side of the moon.
Yeah,
that there could be a station there. There could be a life form.
It's
aliens,
not just the dark side, man.
Right?
It's not just the dark side. I mean, based on what other interviews people have done with Armstrong. Now, Neil Armstrong kept a lot of the cards close to his chest. He did say to a friend, though, that he cannot talk about it because the lives of his families and his have been threatened.
Oh, wow.
He came back a changed man. He wasn't a guy that left Earth for the moon.
Right. Wasn't there a thing that NASA lost 2 minutes of communication with the module?
Yeah.
Is that when you went to the dark side?
No.
Just
That was just before they landed.
Before they landed?
And they went from the command net that they were on, the signals communications, right, with Earth, right?
Yeah.
They switched over to the medical net and they were communicating via the medical net.
Mm-hmm.
And some leaked evidences or proofs came out.
Right.
Not leaked, that was the Freedom of Information Act. And they saw the transcripts. There were some redacted. Right?
Yeah.
And they have a code name for E.T. or space UFOs.
Right.
And that code name is Santa Claus. And they kept saying, the Santa Claus is here.
Oh.
Right. And on top of that, they also heard a few things. Sounds in space. Sounds.
There's not supposed to be sound in
the
space.
Ship.
Oh.
And then, of course, they also said when they landed, one of them said, don't know whether it was Buzz Aldrin or it was Armstrong, said, they're watching us.
Wow.
They're just there watching us. Now, understand this, that after a while, there were a few more missions, right?
Mm.
There was 12, Apollo 12, and 13, or the fateful one.
Mm.
And then after that, you had, I think, one or two more. Then they stopped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for decades, we stopped.
Yeah,
right?
We haven't gone back.
Next year, is NASA wants to go back to the moon. But what we've heard also is that the reason why NASA didn't go back to the moon was because they've been warned not to.
But so why are we going back again then?
I have no clue.
Maybe they know whatever was there has gone.
I think it's politics. I think the fact that China has landed, India has landed, so the Americans have to do something now. But also Americans have reached Mars before anyone else.
Right.
But we also forget this little known story that the Soviets have already sent probes into Venus.
Oh, they have?
Yeah. They were focused on Venus, while Americans were more focused on Mars.
Right.
And the other interesting fact is when Apollo 11 lifted off, there was one more final experiment they had to do. And they had to drop, I think it was the lunar module or something else, onto the surface of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And while after doing that, measure the size, there's a seismometer there to discover what's the reaction going to be like, you know, and whether or not there are earthquakes on the lunar surface, right?
Right.
But no, what happened was when the object hit the surface of the moon, it rang like a bell.
What? Yeah, I've heard about the theory that it's the station
continued like forever.
Oh.
Which tells you it's a huge hollow.
Yes.
Right?
I've heard about that. How it's being actually all metal in there. It's a station.
Whether or not it's artificial.
Yeah.
And then Graham Hancock, that guy with the ancient aliens thing, came up recently with a theory that is not that the moon is artificial, but the formation of the moon happened maybe not from planet Earth, because you know the conventional thinking is that when our planet was forming, the moon pulled itself away from our planet.
Mm.
But he's saying that the moon came from another planet and got caught somehow by the Earth's gravity.
Okay.
So that's another theory that just came about. and it's crazy because it is weird that we have a moon that is the only dissimilar natural satellite versus the ones that we know of.
Yeah.
And they found in the solar system.
They also found rocks that were on the moon that are similar to the one on Earth, which gives the theory why, you know,
it came from
Earth.
They have also the checks that, you know, a lot of the minerals they find in the moon is also similar to ours here on our planet.
Hmm.
But then again, there are some, I can't really remember the details, but there are some arguments that it's also similar to some other celestial bodies in our solar system.
Right.
So there's an argument about that.
I mean, back in the day, everything was a hot soup, right? It was just everybody banging each other and all that, trying to find their space in space.
No,
and then
actually, you know, we had a, well, theory has it is that this Earth has had multiple extinction events.
Yes. Yeah.
One is called the Younger Dryas. And that those were times when the ancients really more, you know, the ancients wrote that their ancients always spoke about a time on this planet, the time before the arrival of the moon.
Oh. Before the moon.
Exactly. So there's so many theories, you know, hanging about where this story of the moon is concerned.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, man.
If I like to ask my friend this question. If you were, say, given the option to pack your family and be one family of 5,000 families and they fly you to Mars, everything is built, done already. You just have to go there and habitat, right? But you can never come back again.
Yeah.
Would you?
No.
Oh, what? Why?
I wouldn't.
I mean, sure, you don't have to.
I mean, it's not.
I make it sound like I'm so judgmental. Like, well, what? Why? No, what's wrong with you?
Well, it's a good question. There is a particular TV show now. I don't know if you know.
What?
It's called For Mankind.
No,
This has been, I think, four seasons so far.
Oh, wow.
They rewrote history, you know, they changed everything. what if the Soviets were the ones that conquered the moon first, landed on the moon first, which was what this story stemmed from there.
Right.
And then, long story cut short, they eventually colonized Mars. Or now starting to colonize Mars.
Right.
They've built themselves this little city called Happy Valley, you know?
Not River Valley, yeah. Singaporeans.
Are you saying that? People in River Valley are all bloody Martians, aren't they?
No, they're very happy, that's all. I'm saying that.
Well, anyway, it's fucking crazy. I mean, but it's a pretty good show. I kind of follow it.
For mankind.
For Mankind,
okay,
yeah.
I must look it up.
Good, pretty good actors in that show as well.
Okay, so why won't you go to Mars with your family?
I wouldn't, because...
I'm not asking you to go alone.
I don't think I can... It would be so easy to adapt, man. I mean, you get out, you get out there outdoors,
yes,
in a spacesuit.
Right.
You're not going to have that freedom of movement like we enjoy here, right?
Okay, let's say if it's a dome and you move around like how you move around here, except you know you're on a bloody red planet. And if the dome breaks.
I suppose that would be a little bit more enticing.
Right.
But come on, I mean, you're still going to be within the confines of that, right?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I mean, if I'm going to say... Guess what? I'm going to fly off to some other country for a holiday. I've never been there before. Fuck that. No. Fly off to where? You're going to be stuck in the same space.
Wait, is Mars bigger than Earth?
No.
Oh.
It's smaller.
Okay.
I didn't factor that in. Us and Venus. Was it Venus? We are the same size.
Venus is about our size, isn't it?
No, it's our size. Our sister planet, actually, right, Venus. Right. It's just that it's a lot hotter.
Yeah.
Because it's the closest planet to the sun.
For the longest time, I always thought Venus was the coldest and Mars was the hottest because Mars is red.
Pluto is no longer a planet, right? Right. Or did they reclassify it back again as a planet?
Because you see, Venus is
a dwarf planet.
That's right. Yeah. You see Venus, you think it's a nice blue color. Yeah. It must be cool.
But
and
it's
all
a freaking rock. Yeah, yeah.
I know.
Because it's so far away from the sun. But anyway, some people have there was something I saw online, and there was this picture of Mars. Because you know, when NASA give us pictures of Mars,
yeah,
and the rovers are there, right?
Please tell me those are not fake.
Hang on.
Okay. Shit.
For some strange reason, the sky is always kind of reddish, orangey, or reddish, right? Have you seen pictures of those?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I thought it would be a reflection from the Mars surface. No?
Well, because they call it a red planet. So, right. You know, and it's there's not enough oxygen on in
the. So, what should
planet,
the sky
right?
be then? Dark blue?
Well, somebody came back and unfiltered, allegedly, what they said was filtered by NASA.
Oh.
And the sky is actually not red.
Then what is it then?
Kind of blue.
Which means that.
Exactly.
No, come on.
I'm not kidding. And they went in this expert
biggest marketing
actually,
campaign ever.
No, but this expert actually got rid of. He said there are filters, and it's quite clear because he's an expert. He does all these things all the time.
Right.
So he removed them. I said, "This is actually how Mars looks like." Now, why are they depicting Mars to be so uninhabitable, and paint? You know, and coloring the sky. Because, and the rocks also look kind of reddish and stuff, and it's actually not reddish.
Wait, so I'm going to be confused here. Then does that mean that these rovers are not on Mars? They are here somewhere in Death Valley in California?
Don't know, man.
Some rocky mountain.
But you do know that they, I think it is Death Valley that they actually had their simulations done, right, before flying off to Mars.
Is it where they do it? I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought it was in a swimming pool somewhere. I don't
No, you shouldn't swim in complex.
Yeah. No, I know they do the they go into underwater in swimming pool, huge swimming pools.
No, that's for the astronauts to train for space. Yeah,
right.
For gravity, right?
Right.
Zero gravity. Mm. But for the rovers and stuff, I think it was Death Valley.
Okay.
So some conspiracy theorists are saying that. We didn't actually land on Mars. I think we have.
Mm.
And some people are saying that the other side of the story is that there you can actually live on Mars, but the NASA doesn't want you to know that.
Why? What's the agenda? Why can't they just say yes?
I don't know. Because maybe, who knows, could they have discovered the origin of life here on Earth, that there was a cataclysm on Mars and that ended life there? Because there is a very, very big scar.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah.
On the planet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a terrible, massive scar.
Yeah.
It's like something huge hit it.
Yeah. Mount Everest pales in comparison. The Andes.
Very much, right? Man. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
And that would have really ejected lots of stuff out of that planet at a time when this cataclysm happened.
Right.
Could it have carried DNA from Mars?
Yeah.
And when Earth was being formed?
Yeah.
And then our DNA ended up here.
Yeah.
It could have. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's another theory.
Some say that Mars was what Earth is now. And then it prospered so well, but then something happened. And
something
then,
happened.
And then we found ourselves dumped on Earth.
On Earth, right? So that's another theory anyway.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying that there's so many things that maybe some people out there know, but they're just not saying. They're not telling us, you know. And it's kind of strange, man, when you see pictures of Mars with a pale blue sky. The blue is kind of like Manchester City blue. you know. So it's kind of weird, man, really. So this is a pretty interesting notion. Anyways, I was telling you just now, you know, what if the aliens that come and visit us and they turn out to be the mothership. Yeah, they turn out to be malevolent, and they're out here to do us harm.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, what we would do with them is that we would actually bloody nuke them, isn't it?
Yeah.
The point is that, just to end the show, you know.
We end the show with a bomb?
Yeah. Okay. Because all the time when you find these guys, like Roswell, for example.
Yeah.
Next door to Roswell, very nearby, is the White Sands Missile Range.
I don't know that one. Yeah.
Okay. And every time there is a major UFO sighting, it's always close to a nuclear silo.
Okay.
Now, it happened twice. Once in America, there was an emergency, a real issue. It was a red alert because all their missiles were switched off. Okay. And there was a craft hovering over that silo.
It's that movie scene where the guy can't start the car.
but they were completely nuclear defenseless.
Right.
Defenseless. Yeah.
Shut down. Yeah.
And that was during the Cold War. Huh?
Okay.
And then once in the Soviet Union, they started counting down. The computers to launch their missiles started counting down 30 seconds.
To launch. By themselves. What the hell?
Okay. And then It ticked down. And then it stopped.
Shitting the pants.
Yeah, it stopped. And there was a craft over the silo. And when it stopped, right, the craft shot off. It's like giving us a message that, look, listen, we can stop this.
Right. Yeah. Okay?
There was another one. There's a video. You can find it online. It's everywhere.
Okay.
There was a missile. It was a nuclear missile, but there were no nuclear warheads in it. It was just a test missile.
Okay.
And they launched this missile.
Yeah.
And the thing exploded mid-flight. And caught on video was this craft that flew on one end of it, shot a beam, flew around the other end of it, shot a beam, and then flew off and the thing blew. What? Yeah. And they're telling us that we don't like this.
Yeah.
And apparently some other conspiracy theorists have got this notion that, you know, or this theory that the aliens have said to some abductees, stop blowing up nuclear weapons because it affects the whole cosmos.
Ooh.
It impacts, you know,
not just Earth,
different dimensions.
Oh.
Apparently.
Different dimensions.
Yeah. That inside our empty space, there's energy, you know.
Yeah.
Which is what the Hadron Collider is all about.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? CERN, the CERN experiment. And that's for the Higgs boson God particle, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What's antimatter? Okay. Yeah. So the idea is that in this empty space outside of matter, there's energy.
Yes.
Which Nikola Tesla attested to.
Yes.
And everybody called him a quack.
Right.
But now people are trying to find out in this huge project in Switzerland. And what's in this empty space? Is this empty space truly empty?
Yeah.
But apparently not.
Yeah.
Because the God particle happened for a split second when they collided the atoms at super high speeds.
Yeah.
In Switzerland.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if the Higgs boson particle could actually come out of this experiment, it goes to show that this empty space isn't empty.
Yeah.
That maybe with us today, there are actually other beings around us.
Yeah.
That exists in a parallel dimension.
Yep.
Or a parallel universe.
Yeah.
So Some abductees were told, man, stop the nuclear testings because it affects everyone.
Oh.
Is it getting a bit heavy, man?
No, I like it. I love it. Because it makes you think. I think the whole idea behind this also, if you can take, is that there is more than just you that's about you.
Yeah.
It's about others as well.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in this dimension, precisely, but other dimensions as well.
Exactly.
So you've got to be... You got to be the kind neighbor, the considerate neighbor. You know, don't bang the wall too hard because your neighbor is trying to sleep or do work. And let's just get along with each other. Right?
Yeah. So this is where you know. I mean, I just feel that civilization has taken a turn for the worse.
just underplaying it.
I mean, come on, look at our own backyard, man. Yeah. Come on. People are not complaining about, hey, you know, these idiots playing football in the futsal court, shut it down.
Yeah.
These idiots now playing football in the damn void decks. You know, it's about time there should be laws about it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many things do you want to not tolerate?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then the old argument will come back. Now, you live here, lah. You see whether you can take it? That is still not the point. The point is that if you're the one playing this shit in the void decks, right?
Mm.
Or in the futsal court,
yeah,
then be considerate, lah.
Yeah.
Somebody walking by, just stop playing for a bit.
Yeah.
But if you're walking by as a passerby, and these people are playing, and you see that they're mid-flight playing the game, just stop for a bit and let them finish the game.
It's just that one atom of common sense
precisely,
that you need.
Yeah, exactly. But when you look at just what we've been talking about, right? What you just said. Fuck, man. We, the human race, we are really fuck all. Really, man. I mean, we are so fuck all. End of the day, right? We just need to be a little bit more tolerant, a little bit more considerate.
Yeah, just
it?
A bit, you know. You're not asking for much. You're not asking for, like, you know, be a holy man or whatever, but just a bit. That's it. And that's all it takes.
Even if the aliens don't destroy us, I think we're going to just blow ourselves up anyway. It's true.
Right?
We don't learn from history. We never learn.
We never did. We never did.
Yeah. We don't learn.
It's one war after another, after another, after another. And after another.
Really. And it's always
And not just the big wars. It's just the war between two blocks, HDB, or two community centers, or two villages, or two kampongs, or two,
or two neighbors.
Two neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this non-stop war.
And you know the worst part is under the guise of values and virtue, man. That's the worst part, man. That's the one thing I cannot stand. You know, don't virtue signal and make yourself look like a damn saint.
Yeah.
When you look at the whole thing altogether, it's just damn plain ugly.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just live and live.
Right.
Right? And then we talk to each other, you know, and not talk to each other.
Speaking of which, have you heard about the egg theory?
Do I?
Never. Oh, I stumped him. The egg, like, you know, your
egg. Yeah, I know.
Omelette egg. I know, but you look at me like, what's that?
You know, and what's egg theory? I know it's an egg. What's egg theory, man?
Okay. What the fuck? My bad. I was just playing you. Egg theory, right?
Mm.
It says that there's in this whole planet Earth, that you see everybody, it's just you, actually. You are the only one. Every other person that you see is a different variation of you in a different time, space, economic status, what have you. They're all you.
Okay.
So that theory really makes you think about how you want to, at the end of it all, how you want to treat the others, whether it's your beloved neighbor next door or the complete stranger at a void deck.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that that is you in a different time, different state, different happenings in your life, you will want to reconsider how you treat that person because you're treating yourself.
Right.
And I think that's a wonderful theory.
Okay. Wow, damn cheap.
I know, right? I don't know how to call it egg though. Because you're the only one.
Oh, damn cheap, man.
Yeah. One egg theory.
Okay. No, I understand the concept, but damn cheap.
I don't know. Go and watch some more videos. I'm just paraphrasing it, but yeah, it's there are videos out there, and when I saw it, I like, what?
Who moved my cheese?
Yeah.
Well, this metaphors, I tell you. I understand what you mean. I mean, we all live in our own state, and we all live in our own little bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how we want to expand and extend the bubble is entirely up to us.
Yeah.
And the perspectives that we want to look from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't it boggle your mind how huge the universe is? I mean, we say it's 13.8 billion years old, but it's only the seeable.
Whatever we could see.
That we can see.
As far as we can, right?
Yeah, with the instruments that we have.
But do you know that there's somehow a wall?
That I don't know.
Recent times,
I don't
some
know.
People, some scientists have said that there is a wall.
Then what's behind the wall?
Don't know.
Not the universe.
That's the thing. That's the thing. So there is that, you see. So this is where we're going to end the show. I'm going to show you this.
What?
We cannot be alone, man. There's no fucking way. Because when you look at this, can we play that, please?
And that's Earth.
That's Earth.
Been there.
Better be still here. Yeah. Pulling out the Earth, right? And then you see our sun there.
Right. Oh, that's the sun.
And then, that's not the sun. That's the sun.
That's the sun, yeah.
And then you have the rest of the planets in our solar system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're pulling out of our solar system. Yeah. And you just watch where our sun is now.
Yeah.
That little speck down there.
You
can't freaking see it anymore,
yes,
man.
Yeah.
And then you can see we're moving away further and further and further, and we're moving away from that black hole in the center of our galaxy, the Milky Way.
Yeah.
And then from the Milky Way, it's just
billions of light years away.
Exactly. So there are billions and billions of solar systems in that Milky Way. Now you see the Milky Way is now a speck amongst 3 to 5 trillion galaxies.
Yes.
Galaxies. Now, those are now galaxies.
Yeah, but there's specks now because we're so far away.
Exactly. Now, take a look at that shit, man. And then there's the rest of the universe, right? Now, in the end, right at the end, with all these trillions of galaxies, it goes into black space. Starbucks.
Yeah, right.
And that dark, and then, today I was just reading before you arrived, there is this dark void. Mm-hmm. This is the James Webb telescope.
Oh, I love that, man. I love it.
A dark void. Telescope. Complete darkness.
What? Nothing?
Nothing.
Even James Webb telescope.
It found it.
They found darkness. I mean, in the past with the, what was the telescope before James?
Hubble.
Hubble, yes. I mean, when they found dark space, they thought it was just nothing. Then James Webb came along and said, hang on.
It's not
there are trillions of stars in there.
Exactly.
So now I'm wondering if James Webb has reached its capacity. It's that dark space that it sees now, actually they are full of stars, but it just can't pick it up because it's too damn far.
Well, basically, astronomers are saying that they're not wrong.
Right.
The possibility would be that we have just found or are looking at just after the Big Bang.
Right.
Just after the Big Bang, it's just darkness there.
Yeah.
And everything
is
just blown out.
Yeah.
And then that spot, that void, is dark.
Right. Right.
Because apparently the Big Bang came from one single singularity.
Yes, that's right.
And then boom, it blew, right?
Yeah.
And everything. It was a perfect, in perfect equilibrium.
Yep.
That singularity.
Yeah.
Then when it blew.
Yeah. All of this came out.
And the universe was created, right?
Yeah, and the universe is expanding exponentially.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
But then this was expanding. Some other astronomers are saying, scientists are saying, that there is an end to it. There is a wall.
That's so hard. That I can't get my head.
I can't wrap my head around that too.
You know, when I was in primary six, right? I used to think about this. Okay, universe goes on and on and on. There's a wall. Okay, then on that wall is this benevolent being holding on to that globe of the universe. And I don't know why I thought it was a ram, like a Pegasus or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, but where is that animal there, right? Then I zoom out and he's in another universe that is held by another bigger Pegasus and goes on and on. And you know what I will get in the end after thinking of that for 5-10 minutes? I'll get a migraine. Really, truly, I try a few times and I say I cannot think about this anymore because it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, because I was saying, if one day the contact happens, it is going to disrupt economies, it is going to disrupt religion, it is going to really put a lot of things into question. Disrupt economy is one thing. The politics will be screwed, okay? Because we're going to have free energy. You know, there's no need for us to pay anymore because we know how to harness energy from empty space.
Yeah. Which is what Tesla was trying to do.
Exactly.
Right.
And he got screwed by Merrill Lynch.
Yes.
And Merrill Lynch decided to invest into that. And by the way, that guy is also not a very good man, Thomas Edison. Yeah.
Because
he sold a lot of people's papers.
So, yes, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. And it was all for money. Yeah. And then Merrill Lynch decided to invest in thinking that he's going to be in the right side of history, and Tesla died in poverty.
Oh,
and
man.
Then the FBI, when he died alone in a single room.
Oh.
And they came in and they took away all of his work.
Oh, come
on. And it's been lost. The only thing we've got right now is ACDC, Achong Disco Club. Yeah. So, Tesla, man. I mean,
Tesla's my man.
So that's why I'm saying that, that there's so many things that will be disrupted. It should really that would happen, right? When these guys actually do appear and we have contact.
So I gather then that you're looking forward to this contact.
I am.
Right?
I am. Because
it will put a stop to a lot of speculation and what have you, right?
That's one.
Right.
Secondly, also, it shows that we are part of a much, much
bigger,
a much bigger part of this. You know, we have a role to play
that
is far bigger than we've been stupid all this while. You know, that we've been really dumb. You know, that we're not supposed to be killing each other. We're not supposed
to be. We've been penny wise, pound foolish.
Very much so. I think so.
Right?
There's a much bigger space out there rather than just our own little space here.
You know, that one time I felt like this, where there's much bigger picture, it was when I went to California holiday and I went to stay on the Grand Canyon.
Mm.
Oh, my jaw dropped.
Really?
My jaw.
Never been there.
No, that was my first time, 1992.
No, I've never been there.
You know? So. Oh, ah, dude, been. Come on, let's go. Next week, I'll bring you. 1992, I stood there and I'm standing at the edge of civilization looking into the never-ending Grand Canyon.
Mm.
It just played something in my mind like, dude, you are nothing. You're a speck of dust compared to this entire canyon, aka the universe and what have you out there. I just jaw dropped for a while and just...
Wow. Yeah, and we don't respect that, do we? I mean,
no.
I mean, we saw the video. I mean, pull out the Earth.
Yeah.
Earth pull out the solar system pull out the... And we're nothing...
Yeah,
us as individuals, we're just that one little tiny, not even a speck.
It's
man.
Not, we're at an atom level now.
Kind of, yeah, exactly.
Right?
So,
atomic level.
So, but we don't respect what the bigness of everything out there, man. I mean, it's like me. You're right. You, at the Grand Canyon, the first time I've ever seen snow was just 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was in Norway.
Yeah.
And I was up this mountain.
Yeah.
And this mountain is located in the old capital of Norway called Bergen. And I was standing right there, and down where all the snow is, and looking up the peaks and stuff, and I'm going like, my God,
right. How little tiny do you feel? Smaller than a snowflake.
I mean, what am I, man?
Right?
You know,
right?
What am I?
And
is the appreciation of that? But no, what do people do? They go out there, it's so nice, take picture. You know, fuck me. I mean, hey, take picture, take selfie. You know, what I mean, anyway, this is boring. I'm gonna go find some shopping.
Have you seen a video where they show you the size relevance from starting with Earth,
bigger than
the sun, and then it goes to a bigger star and a bigger star.
Beetlejuice,
and then the sun, our sun, becomes like a little dot.
Yeah, and Beetlejuice, by the way, has lost its glow. It's losing its glow.
Oh no,
it's cooling
touch
down.
Touch up, makeup.
you mean the movie Beetlejuice? That guy. No. But there's even something bigger than Beetlejuice. If you go on that scale that you're looking at, right? Yeah. They're even...
Yes, there's one that...
Far, far bigger, man. I mean, it's ridiculous, mind, man.
Right?
Yeah.
How big can things
ridiculous.
Get?
Ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
It's a good thing we have a lot of space.
Exactly. You got so much space, right?
And still not even seen...
So what are we, man? I mean, you know, I just think that we should really rethink our position, rethink where we are.
I'm very interested in, you know, dark energy and black matter. They say you look out in the universe, 80% of it is just dark matter.
The black out there, outside of the stars.
And they can't account for it. Quantum physics can't account for it because they say that we've done our math and how come the numbers don't match?
Yeah.
So there's something else
same
out
thing.
There.
That's the
dark
thing.
Dark matter.
God particle. So which is the same thing as this.
Yeah.
You know the empty space?
Yeah.
And that's empty space.
Yeah.
That darkness is empty space.
Yeah.
But why is it black?
Hmm.
Right? Now that's the question. Why is it black? Why can't it just be something else, you know? But why is it black?
It's, I guess, because our eyes have limited spectrum on the light, right? Light spectrum. So we only see it as black. For all you know, it could be a rainbow color, but our eyes can't see it. I mean, right?
Okay. That's
Which animal is colorblind? There's an animal that's colorblind. Is it the bull? No.
Dogs are colorblind. No, dogs can see two or three colors. Dogs can see red, I think. Dogs can see red. But
who sees in black and white? Kai, do you know? I read somewhere, but I was like, what?
But most animals are. Most animals are kind of like black and white.
I think in the bigger scale of things, we are like those animals. We only see two colors or one color. And then, you know, everything else is there, but we just don't see it.
Interesting point.
Right?
Interesting point. Actually, maybe there's things that we just can't see, but others, some other species can see.
Yeah, no, like predator. And then go to a different spectrum. You know, infrared. It's can. The filter comes on in front of his face. Then you can see so many things around him, which we can't see.
Yeah, well, then after, you know, that one first, the first movie?
Yeah.
Well, that was great.
Yeah, the rest, come on. Please, la.
I was like
Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll take out the gun and shoot everybody else in that. Why? I don't understand bad it can get.
Right. Yeah, but I enjoyed the latest one though. The last one that was on, it wasn't in the movies, but it was a TV movie, and this was they shot it way back when during the Native American days. You know, the new frontier days,
and
the frontier
there was America. Predator.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow, what is it called? Don't tell me it's called Predator.
No, it wasn't. It was
when you find out, text me.
Yeah, it's another name. It's another name. It was this little Native American girl who wanted to be a warrior, and she was the one that fought.
Oh wow!
Now that wasn't bad at all. That was really quite something.
Okay,
but the rest, man,
it's like the Ghostbusters latest.
What a pity, yeah.
Yeah, I was so excited. Like, oh wow, yeah, you know, let's bring it back.
Some remakes just shouldn't happen. You know, like the A-Team. Remember a couple of years back. What a flop.
But that's the thing, you see. We're going to a different subject now. Every time you do a sequel of an iconic movie, you have to be so careful.
Yeah.
You have to be so good.
Yeah.
Otherwise you'll never
But
do
you
well.
Know what didn't fail?
What?
Of all these franchises and stuff, and that you do, it's been continuing well.
Yeah.
And even if you have those what we call prequels.
Yeah.
Right? Star Trek.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. I'll give you that.
They do a better job than Star Wars.
Yeah. It's like the DC versus Marvel thing.
Speaking of DC,
did you watch the Zack Snyder's 4-hour Justice League?
Oh, my God. That was something.
Zack Snyder is the man.
Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon, yeah. Yes.
Zack Snyder, I would admit, yeah.
Right? When you watch that movie, it really made sense.
Yeah, but now you look at Marvel, man. I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I'm a Marvel fan, yeah. But now with the Avengers, the old Avengers done with, Infinity War, is done, right?
Yeah.
Endgame is done.
Yeah.
Then now you've got the new Avengers coming around, and I'm going like, my goodness, watch the Marvels, and I want to.
I heard it's not good, huh?
I wanted to vomit.
You know, sometimes I watch the trailers, and I go like, oh, this is interesting. And even if people tell me it's a lousy movie, don't watch it. But the trailer's interesting for me, I'll still watch it. But this one, I watch the trailers and I go like, is this a kid's show? Because I'm not sure what's going on.
You know why I like Star Trek?
Why?
I'm more of a Star Trek fan,
right?
Although I got Star Wars in my head, I'm a Trekkie because end of the day, a lot of the other things are achievable. Look at how the original Star Trek with Captain Kirk with William Shatner, right?
Yeah,
and Leonard Nimoy's Mr. Spock.
They've
had the communicators,
yeah,
and then they've got their pad, right? Yes. Even new generations use a pad.
Yeah,
now we've got the iPad.
We've got the iPad.
And funny enough. Theory has it that the American military actually approached Hollywood, and Hollywood has got a role to play in how they get us used.
Prepare us for the easy of the technology into
like
our
Close
life.
Encounters of the Third Kind, Steven Spielberg.
Yes, the keyboard.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of that movie, right, is really based, They had consultants, people like Dr. Hynek and all that, people who were involved in Project Blue Book and as consultants.
Mm.
And there's a lot more realism. Than fantasy.
Right.
And then they've approached people like, you know, for Star Trek.
Mm.
They decided that they want to find which model they want to work on. Star Wars, Star Trek, the American military.
Right.
And they decided Star Trek.
Oh. Okay.
And then the rest of the the military industrial complex started to work on the theories based on Star Trek. Now, if you hear NASA speak about the future of space travel,
yeah,
they use terms like plasma.
Yep.
Plasma drive.
Yep.
Yep. Where'd that come from? Star Trek.
Yep. Yep.
You know? Any lingo they use, like will we ever go into warp, stuff like that. Right? Yep. I mean, they have these chats about these sort of things, yep, and what the future would be like.
Yep.
They use terms that belong to Star Trek. You know, yeah. So, I mean, it can't be a freaking coincidence, isn't it? Yeah. So these people have decided that it's going to be based on this futurism technology,
yeah,
based on this particular format.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what we can swallow.
Yeah, yeah. They can give us bits and pieces of information so that when we actually put it out there for consumption, commercially, publicly, we are kind of ready. We kind of, it's already, we're sort of brainwashed already into thinking, I was expecting this next.
Yeah. But you know, if they were, if could it be possible that they've already done it? Well, I think, yeah. Because, and why aren't they telling us about it? Because it will kill the fossil fuels industry. It will kill oil and gas.
That's another episode all in all.
Exactly. So, you know, so, right. It's going to be another episode all in all. So that's why I'm saying at the end of it all, right, there's a lot of things that are happening that we don't know about.
For sure.
There's a lot of this whole thing, this whole net weave, they weave this entire, what's the word for it? they hide it from us under this network that they've created with Hollywood, with people in the military industrial complex, with everyone.
Mm. Mm.
And they just come together and they, this is how we're going to blind the rest of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. They send us a narrative.
Yeah.
They want us to see.
Correct. Right. Yeah. And now they decided to disclose. Yep. That's just how it is, man. Oh, we're going to be talking for so long. It could go on forever. But Gurmit, thank you so very much, man. Thank you so very much, man.
Oh, pleasure.
I'm glad you're a believer.
I bring me back anytime. I love talking about these things.
Yeah, really. I mean, I'm glad you're a believer. And it's been really nice talking to you about this. People find it strange. Like, these guys just go on and on talking about this shit. But I'm glad that to have you with me. I'm glad, really, that you believe that these things do exist. I'm not saying that they do.
Yeah, I'm just having an open mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because there's too many things that cannot be explained. That there must be something else.
You just need to really delve a little deeper and see. Yeah. What do you think? You know, could these things be real? And I really want to bring this out into the open because you know, especially with you, you're here. People do watch you a lot. That's for sure. I think, after all, Gurmit saying, man,
people are gonna be like, I thought he's just a comedian. Oh, he knows words like plasma. Andromeda Galaxy. What? Where has he been studying?
No, but I'm really glad. I'm really, really glad that we can talk about this, man. Yeah. And it's a different thing that people don't see. People don't hear from Gurmit about these kind of things. And really, thank you for being here. And I wish you the best for the rest of 2024.
Same to you, man.
Okay, everyone. We really got to call it there. Otherwise, you just cannot stop.
But I have one more question. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
Really got to go.
Yeah.
This has been Gurmit Singh together with Chris Hansen for the Chris Hansen Conversation. This episode one. And it happened to be Euphorus. And I know it can get kind of long, us talking about this. But we are also found on Spotify if you want to listen instead of just watch. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Deezer, Listen Notes, and
also the Dark Side of the Moon. We are found there as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So even if you're on the Dark Side of the Moon, you can still listen to us on the audio podcast as well as on YouTube for this video podcast. So you catch us there as well. Thank you so much again, and welcome back to the show. I'll see you again real soon. And remember, look the fuck up. Bye bye.
Mm.